Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Realmente una bendición.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. It is truly a great blessing and privilege to be here in Calle, Puerto Rico, and to greet you, and to ask the Lord for His blessings upon each and every one of us. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, there in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico, and the entire congregation there, the congregation that the Reverend Epifanio Lopez pastors, and everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in different countries. For today, our subject is The Noble Man, preached on December 19th of 2009 in Villahermosa, Tabasco, Mexico. Today, July 13th of this year, 2025. Let us read in 1 Chronicles, 28, verse 4, he tells us, howbeit the Lord of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he had chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel, and of all my sons, for the Lord had given me many sons, he had chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And on the right, he writes, at the beginning of verse 5, on the right, throne. Now notice, let us turn a moment there to Deuteronomy, chapter 17, look at this portion here. Verse 14, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. And he writes there on the left, not a stranger. Not a stranger. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. There on the left he draws Star of David. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest the Levites. And there he draws a Star of David. And he also writes, Revelation 10, 1 to 11, 5, 1 to 10, 6, verse 1, and 8, verse 1. And he shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now let us turn here to 1 Chronicles, on verse 6 of chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. What he has said back then to the Hebrew people. See, God was the one who chose him. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. There on verse 9, he draws a Star of David on the left. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the places of the mercy seat. And above that he writes the blueprints of the temple. The noble man, you may please be seated, if you are so kind. Tells us in the book of the ages, on page 46, the Reverend William Branham says, and this one here also has a few writings. He says, let's see where he begins to say, let's see what the Bible teaches us about this Sabbath rest. For he that is entered into his rest, this entering in is not only entering in, but remaining in the rest. It is an eternal rest. There he writes on the right, seventh day, Sabbath. For he that is entered into his rest, this entering is not only entering in, but remaining in the rest. It is an eternal rest, of which the seventh day is but a type. Seven is completion. Eight is the first day again. There he writes on the right, the eighth day, Sunday, eternity. And here on the red one, he also writes upward, the eighth day equals resurrection. That is on the right. And on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And he divides the seventh age, he numbers it number seven in the part of the ages and eight in the cornerstone. Jesus' resurrection was in the first day of the week, giving us eternal life and eternal Sabbath rest. Thus we see why God could not give us any other certain day of the week as a Sabbath rest. We've entered into and do remain in our rest, which Israel could not do, having only a shadow of the true substance, and on top he writes, the reality, which we enjoy. There on the left he writes, the shadow, the reality, and he also writes substance. Why go back to a shadow when we have reality now? Here on the right, he draws a cornerstone, the ages. He numbers them all from 1 to 7. And in the cornerstone, he writes 8. And he draws a Star of David there on the left. And also on this one, he writes, the reality is better than the shadow, the type. And he draws a Star of David there on the right as well. On this one, he also draws or writes, around here, there's a place where he wrote, why stay? Why stay? Go back to the shadow when you have the reality. In this message, the one sent with the heavenly mission, Dr. William Soto tells us, preached on August 27, 2000, in Cartagena, Colombia. He tells us, we find that in all the prophets of the past, such as Adam, Seth, also Abel, also Enoch, also Noah, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph as well, David, Solomon, in all these men of God, the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ was reflected. The Word of God was in this man of God sent by God to earth. And therefore, what God would do later on through a dispensational messenger was reflected in the message. What is the Holy Ghost? On page 16, the Reverend William Branham tells us, then along come Pentecost with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and narrow it down again by receiving the Holy Ghost. There he draws the last three ages and an arrow towards the seventh. That's right. And now that's begin to shake down. And the gift and the restoration and the Spirit of God has come in the fullness of signs and wonders into the church and has took Pentecost. What is it? We are so close to the coming of the Lord Jesus until the very Spirit that was in Him is working in the church, doing the very same things that He did when He was here on earth. It's never been anywhere back from the time of the apostles till this time. Why, see? It's wide, narrows, and He draws the ages and He divides them. And the cornerstone, see, it narrows. The arrow leads towards the seventh age. Narrows, narrows, narrows. He says, what is it? Just like your hand coming to a shadow. The negative, negative, negative. But what is it? It's a reflection. See, it comes closer until it becomes the shadow. And this is the hand. It comes closer until it is then the reality. What was it? Luther, a reflection of Christ. What was Wesley? A reflection of Christ. And he writes there, in each messenger, Christ reflected himself in terms of how he will be in the age of the cornerstone. And each age reflected what the age of stone will be. And he draws a little cornerstone. I'll read it again. In each messenger, Christ reflected himself in terms of how he will be in the age of the cornerstone. And each age reflected what the age of the stone will be. And he draws a little stone. In other words, a cornerstone. In this other one as well, titled, The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom. The Reverend William Branham tells us on page 50, don't you see the towns, the cities, the houses, the dwellings are speaking of that right now? All these natural things are a shadow. Take a shadow at a distance like my hand. Before there could be a positive or a negative, there has to be a positive. And you see that shadow. Look like I got a dozen fingers. In other words, from far away, it seems like he has a dozen fingers. See, look there. There you see the hand. But that is a shadow. That is not the reality. I have the reality. God has the reality. And the shadow was in the messengers. Let us say, in the first coming of the Lord, God was the reality. And God was reflecting in them what He would do. He showed it in the prophets of the Old Testament. But when the reality was about to come, what happened? From Adam to Jesus, there was a distance. But as the reality came closer in each messenger, the shadow was coming closer. This was happening. Look. See? And now it comes to be the reality. God in mankind. Now it becomes the true fulfillment of what He had promised in the prophets. And they were showing that reality that would come until the reality came. Jesus arrived, the first coming of the Lord. Now look, he says, but then, when you go to getting it closer together, it focuses down to one, and then the shadow fades into the hand, which is what you saw there. The shadow fades into the reality, into the hand. And that's a lot of time. People think there's three or four gods. You're looking too far back in the early Reformation. See? Come on down now and you find, focus in till there is one. That's exactly. And he writes there, above that paragraph, the natural announces the spiritual. And on the left, upward, he writes, the positive equals the reality. The negative equals the shadow or type. And he continues to say, there is one bride, not a dozen denominations, but one bride, that's the elected out of the earth that has been predestinated to this, the ones who can recognize their place in the kingdom, those who can come in contact with what God promised. There he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone and the bottom part of the ages. Now notice also here in this message, Jehovah Jireh, on page 22, the Reverend William Branham tells us, then one day when Abraham was setting out, the land was barren. Sometimes we think that those things are curses. No. If you know your heart is right with God, no matter what happens, stay right with it. Notice, sometimes situations, and people think that it's a situation or a curse. But he says, no, don't think that. If your heart is right with God, he says, stay. Stay right with it. Abraham and Sarah, probably hot weather, and cattle was all thin, and everything. And then one day Abraham was sitting under the oak tree about noontime in the 16th chapter, or the 18th chapter rather, of Genesis. And God had got enough of that Sodom and Gomorrah, just like He's got of this world today, enough of their foolishness. So He's going to come down to destroy it. There He writes, Elohim, Michael, and Gabriel. So He was going to give them a sign that that was going to be destroyed. So Abraham was sitting there under the oak, and he looked, and he seen three men coming. And they come up to where he was. He ran to meet them, and he said, My Lord. Now, somebody was trying to tell me that that was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, that's a lie. He never said, My Lords. He said, My Lord. And Brother William writes next to it, Abraham said. Now notice, he writes there, a type of Elijah, Moses, and Jesus, the two olive trees, and the Messiah. A type of Elijah, Moses, and Jesus, the two olive trees, and the Messiah. There's a writing on a little card where he writes, First Elijah, he wanted to die already, for God to take him before Jezebel kill him, a type and figure. And he writes, he was reflected of the fifth Elijah. And he writes, of the Omega prophet, whom the beast, the Antichrist, will try to kill. And there underneath he writes, Elijah, Moses, and Jesus are one. They are the ministries of Elijah, Moses, and Jesus in a man, in the Omega prophet, the angel of the covenant, Christ, the Holy Spirit, in His last manifestation. And there He tells us what Abraham saw. Now, notice what he says about Lot. Lot later called them two preachers that went out there, not capital L, little L. My lords, have you come to me? That backslidden Lot. So he said, My lords. And Brother William writes, Lot said, but when Abraham met the three, he said, My Lord. Capital L, O-R-D, Elohim, Lord. Three of them was standing there, but he said, My Lord. It's the three ministries in one. Now, our Brother William continues to say here, I'm in the message, the one sent with the heavenly mission, he says. Now, many people see the reflection, but they don't realize that later on, God will send a dispensational prophet, in whom everything that we saw reflected in those previous messengers will be manifested in all of its fullness. In the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He tells us on page 28. He says, notice, they took Christ's spirit upon themselves and forecast the events that would come to pass. Talk about forecast. They said what would take place down through the ages as they sat, stood, laid, walked with the spirit of Christ upon them, in so much that they acted like Christ. And the readers would read it and think that the prophet was speaking of themselves. There he draws a Star of David on the right. You remember the eunuch when he was reading Isaiah 53:1 about how that he had wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes were we healed? The eunuch said to Philip, Who is the prophet speaking of, himself or some other man? There he draws a Star of David on the right. And he writes there, the prophet spoke as if it were themselves. See, the prophet spoke as if it was himself. Look at David crying in the spirit. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My bones, they stare at me, David. They pierce my feet and my hands, David. They pierce my feet and my hands. But thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. As though David was speaking of himself being holy. It was the Son of David that germinized, spiritual seed coming down through there. Though David himself was a cocklebur, but on the inside there was a wheat grain. There he writes, David. Do you get it? So the whole Bible is not the word of a man. Neither was it wrote by man, or brought by man, or neither can it be revealed by man. It's God's word revealed by God himself, his own interpreter, Christ revealing himself in his own word. There he draws Star of David to the left. And above, notice, he writes, in the first and second coming, the prophet who most resembles the Messiah is the forerunner. Everything germinates, it is fulfilled in the Messiah. There, on paragraph 132, in the last sentence, there he also draws a Star of David. Now, he continues to say, look at Christ standing back here in David. David couldn't even think now. His mind had gone from him, as it were. Now, he goes on to say here, here on the back, notice as well. In this same message, he writes, the prophets spoke as if it were themselves, as if it were being fulfilled or would be fulfilled in themselves. The prophet spoke as if it were themselves, as if it were being fulfilled or would be fulfilled in themselves. Now, our brother William continues to say here, notice, and here is David's case. Notice, for example, David said, they pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. Psalm 22:16-17. And Isaiah also spoke about this, but then when Jesus came, it was fulfilled in Jesus in all of its fullness. Now, anyone could think, no, you can't apply that to Jesus because King David said it. And the prophet Isaiah said it as well. How are you going to apply those things to Jesus? Well, of course, because it was being reflected back then and being prophesied both as a reflection and as a prophetic word. What would happen in the life of the one sent by God, Jesus Christ? In the book of Quotations, page 136, paragraph 12:15, he tells us, there is five offices elected of God. For God has set in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. God did that. Man has deacons and so forth, and everything else. But you see, but God set in the church for the perfection of the church, can't divide it. And above that he writes, the five ministries. All these ministries were in Jesus. We're going back to one. Now, he continues to say, and now, it is also said that Abraham's son would be the heir, and that all the nations would be blessed in Abraham's seed. And when Paul and the other apostles applied this to Christ, any person could say, you can't apply that to Jesus, because that was for Isaac. But Isaac, was the type and figure of Christ, the Son promised to Abraham, typified the Messiah in His coming as Son of Abraham. Notice in the message, proving His word, this is the one preached, because there is two of them. I believe there are two subjects. This was preached on April 26th of 1965. On page 41 on this message, he tells us, the Reverend William Branham tells us, you know, I think Paul was quite scriptural in what he done. Don't you think so? You want me to tell you where I think he got the idea of doing it? Someone says, from Elisha. From Elisha, he's right. See, Elisha said, take this staff and go lay it on the baby. And the prophet sent the staff because he knowed that everything that he touched was blessed. He knew his position. If he could just get the woman to believe the same thing. Now, that is something very important, because it was counted to Abraham for righteousness, of which we have to see how God shows us everything we are receiving in terms of this claiming work. But the time will come when he gets to that part where we have to put it into action. Let us say, now if she, all she had to do was believe. He commanded it, lay this on him. But she, her step was to believe it. That is why on some occasions you find that Brother Branham narrates to us when the angel tells him, if you can just get the people to believe you. He says, not even cancer will get in your way or will be able to stand in your way. Now see, now the Bible never even said, they shall pray for the sick. It said, they shall lay hands on the sick. Now just think, the people seen in the Apostle Peter, the presence of God manifested in this man, in so much that they even laid people in his shadow, and they were healed. And he writes there on the site, the shadow. How many knows that's scriptural? That's just as much scripture as John 3:16, see? It's all God's word. Now, the people, you know, the shadow of that man did not heal the people. But look, if the power of God was upon that prophet for years and years after he died, in so much that a dead man was thrown on his body, his bones. The body wasn't even there. The bones was there. And the presence of God was upon those bones, unto that dead man come to life. Now, don't you know that that same God that did all those things is right here tonight? To me, I think we should be the most happiest people in all the world. Just think of this. And look, he writes below there, the shadow of the New Testament is the Old Testament. The shadow of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is Israel, which is the church of the Old Testament. And the shadow of Christ, Jesus, are the prophets and sacrifices. And here upward as well, he writes, God was working in the shadow, even more so in the reality. The shadow of the two olive trees are Moses and Elijah, and all the prophets until Jesus, Peter, and Paul, and the seven angels of the seven ages of the church. That page alone is a Bible study. The other one, 44 as well. It continues there. But notice, he goes on to say here, I am on the one sent with the heavenly mission. He continues to say, and now when David has a son named Solomon, who sat on the throne of David, when then the prophets speak of the throne of David, and that one would sit in the throne of David, and the archangel Gabriel also opened that mystery. But they could say, no, that means Solomon is going to resurrect and sit on the throne of David again. It is like when Brother William writes there on page 5b on the Book of Quotations, where Brother Branham speaks on page 5b, paragraph 51. I had the privilege a few minutes ago talking to my wife and my little Joseph, the little boy who I believe that God will let take my place when I'm finished in this life. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the seventh age, and an arrow towards the gap as well. In other words, when I'm finished, the arrow is towards the seventh age, and the little boy who I, and there he puts it at the gap. And he writes above, Joseph equals a type and figure of the coming of Christ. And below he writes, it is the same as with David's son, Solomon, in whom Christ was reflected as king. And Joseph takes the place of the fourth Elijah and continues with the message. But he cannot take the place of the fifth Elijah, not him. And that is the same thing that our brother William is showing us here. Now he goes on to say, but it also says that they will seek David, their king, and that God will give them a king, which is David. So they think, no, then that means that David is going to resurrect. But the greater David and the greater Solomon is our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. He is the heir to the throne. And the Archangel Gabriel in chapter 1, verse 30 to 36 of Luke, he told the Virgin Mary that God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will sit on the throne of David and reign forever. Now, we can see who is the greater David and the greater Solomon and the greater Isaac. It is the Messiah, Christ, our Savior. Because Messiah, Christ, and Anointed One is the same thing. Now, look in this message, the reproach for the cause of the word. In Spanish, they use the subject, the reproach. But in this booklet, on page 18 of Spanish, perhaps this one, the edition, well, it's perhaps some parts are not there. But it's the one that he marked here. But notice, he says on page 34 of the book in English, he says, because all of them back there had the mini true word of God. Because Jesus said, the word of the Lord came to the prophets. And which one of them, he said, that you fathered your organized religions, didn't stone and put to death? Which one of them received the prophets? Then you build them tombs after they're gone, said, you're the guilty of putting them in there. Then he gave them the parable about the vineyard laid out and servants come. They mistreated them. They finally said, now we'll kill the son because he's the heir, see? Oh, they got angry when they seen that, see? But he had to stand that reproach, bring back eternal life and raise up every son of God down through the age that stood with that word. And there he draws a Star of David, and on the left he writes, the life of the Messiah was reflected in the prophets before his arrival. What about today? What about today is a question. He continues to say, Job, or he says, a bit before that, if he hadn't come, Elijah couldn't come back. Every son of God down through the age that would stand the reproach, there was no one could redeem him. But by faith he saw that Redeemer coming. Job saw him. Job stood back there and they said, oh, you're a secret sinner. God is just mistreating you because you're a secret sinner. He said, I know my Redeemer, live it. At the last days he will stand on earth. Though the skin worm destroyed this body, in my flesh, I'll see God. If Jesus hadn't come, Job couldn't have been redeemed, because he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knew his place. He knew his position. That's the reason Mary recognized that position. That day when she came out of there, she said, "If you have been here, my brother will not die." He said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Said, "Yes, Lord, in the resurrection he was a good boy." Jesus said, "But I am the resurrection. Believest thou this?" She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God that was to come into the world." He said, "Where have you buried him?" "Oh, there you are." She recognized it. What we were saying some time ago. Notice, for God to manifest his glory at that moment, which would be manifested through the resurrection of Lazarus, what happened there was required. And there he drew a Star of David to the right. In other words, she recognized it in her soul, in her heart. That little woman wasn't saying that. She had 7 devils cast out of her. She knew the power of God that could take pride and starch and everything away from her. That could take that little selfish high school spirit out of her. And he could make her a new creature. He cast 7 devils out. Them women know what he was, who accepted him. They know what he could do for them. So do they do today too. Just accept it. That's the next thing. There he is. She said that. And you know what taken place? All that would suffer for that same word, he died for that cause. All the others had had little dips. But here was the fullness of God in him. The same he is today. Then there, at some point, we show that part about the woman who wiped and washed the feet of Jesus with her hair. There were 2 occasions. It was the ill-famed woman, and it was also Mary, Lazarus' sister. There were 2 occasions. In other words, there we see that Jesus was anointed twice. There, on those 2 occasions, the same thing that happened with David. He was anointed twice as well. Let's turn there and look. So you can see those 2 parts. In Luke 7. But notice. Luke 7:38. From 36 and on. There he was anointed. Notice. With her tears. And she anointed him with the ointment. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And in John 11, John chapter 11, this took place in Bethany. Verse 2 says, "It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." There is another place where Brother Branham shows us all of this. But it's something I wrote to Brother Miguel these days because after we talked on that occasion about that woman there in Luke, he called me and I was telling him, he tells me, I had not seen that. Look, Miguel, something came out today. What that anointing is, or that anointing, which those women did. Now, women represent churches. There is the Hebrew church, and there is the church bride, the Gentile one. Now notice, I am on page 18 of the reproach for the cause of the word. He says, so do they today too. Just accept it. That's the next thing. There he is. She said that. And you know what taken place? All that would suffer for the same word, he died for that cause. All the others had little dips. But here was the fullness of God in him, the same he is today. He never wrote one word, did he? Never wrote a word. Why? He was the word. He was what? The word that had been wrote. He was the manifestation of that word. Glory, whoa, now I feel good. He was the word. He didn't have to write nothing. Jesus didn't have to write anything. Why? Because he was the fulfillment of what was written that he would do. He was the word, this written word made manifest. Glory to God. He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the word made manifest. You say, is that right, Brother Branham? Now he writes there at the bottom. Jesus was the manifestation of the written word. Watch Jehovah stand back there and blow a streak across the waves like yonder and make a road for Israel to walk through. Watch Jehovah in flesh say, peace, be still, when the waves was beating the banks. That Jehovah that could stand yonder and sprinkle a few dewdrops out, let it fall to the earth and be made bread to feed a people. He stood and took 5 fish or 5 biscuits and 2 fish and fed 5,000. He was the word, amen, amen. He is the word and he ever will be the word. And for me and my house will serve the word. Oh my, yes. Bear the reproach of the word. There is a reproach goes with the word. Stay right with the word and bear the reproach. Let's pray. Now, our brother William continues to say here, now, when people don't understand this, they might think that those things that have been promised or have been spoken or promised to a person and then that person departs, in other words, he dies, and they were not fulfilled, people might think he will resurrect to then fulfill that promise. No. It's because God reflected in those people what he will do with someone greater who will come. In the message, discerning the body of the Lord, notice, the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 14 of this message, he says, brother and sister, to you my beloved ones, I am not trying to be partial, I'm only telling you the truth, I'm only responsible for the Bible, and I'm telling you, if you believe in me to be his prophet or his servant, you believe that I'm telling you the truth. The end is close. How close? I don't know. And nobody else knows. But I know we're living in the shadow of his coming. And there he writes, the shadow shows what his coming will be. Now, our brother William continues to say, and now we can see how God reflected in the saints, the Old Testament prophets, what he would do through the Messiah in his first coming. And he also reflected things that he will do in his second coming. And then the ones that pertain to the first coming of Christ were fulfilled in Jesus. The rest will be fulfilled in his second coming. In the message, God's only provided place of worship, on page 33, the Reverend William Branham says, and upon this comes stone upon stone in each age, to vindicate that word that's coming up, just exactly as Jesus did in his age, which is the capstone of it all. In him laid every age. In Jesus was Moses. In Jesus was David. In Jesus was the prophets. Is that right? Look at Joseph, sold for almost 30 pieces of silver, thrown in, supposed to be dead, taken out, went and come to the right hand of Pharaoh. Look, exactly, Jesus was. Joseph was in Jesus. And when he come, he was the fullness of the kings, prophets, hallelujah. The Godhead bodily rested in him. He comes to redeem out of there a bride, a masterpiece. A masterpiece that says to Satan that, and there are three dots. Now he writes on the right, in the cornerstone, Moses, David, etc. were there. And on the left, he also writes upward, in Jesus were all the ages of the Old Testament. In Jesus, and in between parentheses, Moses and Elijah. Notice, in Jesus, the first coming of the Lord, were all the ages of the Old Testament. And he writes, in Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Because that ministry of Moses and Elijah is the ministry in which he promised to fulfill his coming at this end time. Because the Son of Man comes with his angels. In Jesus, in between parentheses, Moses and Elijah, were all the ages of the New Testament. Now, he goes on to say, Brother William here, and then the ones that pertain to the first coming of Christ were fulfilled in Jesus. The rest will be fulfilled in his second coming. In this message also that we read, Christ is revealed in his own word. Let us see something there on page 12. Where he tells us. Look, he says, page 12. So the Bible is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And it was wrote by prophets. Hebrews 1:1. God who in sundry times spake to the fathers by the prophets, in these last days spake to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, which was the prophets, all of them, put together. Jesus was Malachi. Jesus was Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah. All that they were in him. And all that you are and all I am is in him. Words, witnesses of the word. So it is not a book of system or a code of moral ethic, neither it is a history book or a book of theology. It is not. But it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. God himself revealed from the word to flesh. God revealed from word to flesh. And he drew a star of David on the left. That's what it is. The Bible is the word and God is the flesh. We're back to the shadow. God is the reality. And the shadow comes to be, here let us say the human being. But when it comes to the reality, then that flesh becomes the reality. God is the Word, rather, and Jesus being the flesh. It's the revelation how God, the Word, was manifested in human flesh and revealed to us. And that's why he becomes a Son of God. He is a part of God, you understand? Now also, in the message, let us see here. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. There, he tells us on page 29 of this message. Because the Bible is written in mysteries. Jesus thanked the Father for it, see, that it was wrote in mysteries. Now, the coming of the Lord is in mystery. We don't know when he's coming, how he's coming, but we know he is coming, see? And so was all the mysteries of God waiting for this last day. After it's already been completed, then he reveals and shows what he's done. Oh my, never gave his mystery in full. It's just like this, comparing the seven seals. Now, when God used Martin Luther for the coming out for that first church or that church age, and when he used John Wesley, and he gradually brought them out and was revealing in them that church age. And he drew a Star of David on the right. And notice, he writes there on top, every age was revealed in his angel of each age. William Marion Branham, WMB, in the West, in Tucson, is a type and figure of the fifth Elijah in America. And he writes, the angel of Jesus above, waiting for the church to be completed and for Christ to leave the throne of intercession and give him the title deed, the book of the seven seals, Revelation 10:1-11, and 11:1-14. Now, our brother William continues to say, and now, let us see, and now in the New Testament, we find that God has sent his apostles. He has sent his seven angel messengers for the seven ages as well. And through them, Christ has reflected himself in what he will do at this end time through a dispensational one he will send, who he will have on earth. In the book of the seals, on page 99, the Reverend William Branham tells us, now watch real close. This is something you must get. Now, he had been doing his mediatorial work, making intercession for the believer. For 2,000 years he had been back there a lamb. Now he is stepping forth from eternity to take the title deed book and to break the seals and reveal the mysteries. When of it? At the end time. Do you get it? Alright, we'll go on then. Now, break the seals and release all the mysteries to them, to the seventh angel. And there on the left he writes, the seventh angel. There is a place where he writes, the seventh dispensational angel, whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God lays in these seven seals. See, that's what he said here. All the mysteries lays in the seventh seal. And the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man. He becomes a lion. And there he writes future on the right. And when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his right. God had held it, the mystery, but now the Lamb comes. Nobody could take the book. It's still in the hands of God. Here at the bottom, he writes, in the seventh angel of the seventh age, he reflected what he will do in the seventh dispensational angel of the seventh dispensation of the kingdom, who is the angel of Jesus. No pope, priest, whatever it might be, they can't take now the book. The seven seals hasn't been revealed, see? But when the mediator, when he works, is done as an intercessor, he comes forth. Watch him, oh my, see? He comes forth to take the book. Now watch. To reveal the mysteries of God that others has guessed at in all these denominational ages. Here in this other message as well, the second coming of the Lord, notice on page 5, there he tells us, now, we have different religions, and we have different motives and different theologies. But our Christian religion is based solemnly upon death, burial, and resurrection, and the second coming of the Lord. Oh, it's an important question. And as we are now approaching to my most sincere thoughts, we are living in the very shadows, and he writes types, of his second coming. And there at the bottom he writes, the shadow of the second coming of Christ being reflected in the seventh angel, in the book of quotations, on page 77, tells us, paragraph 668. It says, page 77, day before yesterday morning, I had a vision, and I thought that I was the happiest person I ever seen. I was standing in the sun, S-U-N. There on the right, he draws a cornerstone, the ages. And on top, he writes sun, and he puts a lot of rays of light around the cornerstone as if it were the sun, and was preaching the gospel to a large mammoth congregation. There on the left, he writes Revelation 14, 6 to 9. That is the angel with the everlasting gospel, and he also writes 19:11 to 21, who is the white horse rider. Notice how all of that reflects in the Reverend William Branham. That is why in Friday's message he said that Brother Branham would also be there, he says, or he would be typifying, showing the one who would be or was there. Because everything must have a type and figure. I just wanted to see if that was being taped. And they were sitting in a forest, and streaks of the sun was shining down on them. This canvas is translucent. We are in, we could say, in the forest, in a valley, like the quote that he said, and there was a river, a valley, and he writes river, valley. But he, the angel, said to him, but that's not your tabernacle. Now he goes on to say here, and streaks of the sun was shining down on them, just here and there, getting it, getting the word. There at the top, he writes, preaching in the sun, Elijah. And at the bottom, look, there he writes, the fourth Elijah reflected the fifth Elijah, third Moses, and third Jesus. He writes that there. And I'm, as usual, always too long, too late, preach too long. In the Book of the Seals, he says that teaching messages are long. And I preached so long until the congregation became hungry for physical food. And they, some of them, got tired. So they just got up, went out to get them some food, started going out. I said, don't. I had two climaxes I wanted to meet. I wanted to meet in my sermon, and the Lord had given it to me. And any preacher knows, when you really know it's God had given it to you, you're just burning to tell the people. And he writes, burning. And he drew a Star of David to the left. And notice on top he writes, fourth Elijah, the first climax in the afternoon. Fifth Elijah, dash, the second climax in the evening. Now notice on 165, paragraph 1473 of the Book of Quotations, he says, but now is the bride calling. Now is when the seven seals has been opened. Now when the complete things that the reformers left has to be opened. And only Malachi 4 can do that, because he takes the revelation straight from God to an individual to do so. That's right. It can't come to a group. Never did. One man. That's what God promised in the shadows of the coming for his bride, an Eliezer. And he writes types above shadow of the coming for his bride, an Eliezer. And he writes above that, types and figures in WMB. That is, in William Marion Branham. Types and figures in WMB. And below the paragraph, he writes, the shadows types and figures. And also look on page 100 of this book of quotations, paragraph 870. But I believe we're living in the shadow, and above he writes there, in the type and figure of the coming of the Lord Jesus. When this church has come from justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and coming to the perfect church without spot or wrinkle, that through that church, the God might redeem back all the blood-washed saints and take them home down through the age. There at the bottom he writes, through today's group, he redeems, and above he writes, brings, those who are in paradise, that is, in paradise. And above, he writes, the type equals the forerunner, the shadow of his coming, the three stages of grace and the church. The type equals in the forerunner, the shadow of his coming, the three stages of grace and the church. In this message, Intervail, he also tells us something there. And regarding what he wrote on the first page, this is the one from Why Are People So Tossed About? But in Spanish, they titled it Intervail. On the first page, notice he says, I believe we are living in a very wonderful, glorious day of opportunity, when peoples of this day living to see the shadow of the coming of the Son of God. And above that, he writes, the type and figure in William Iron Branham. I believe with all my heart that the world is going to burst now in the greatest revival that was ever known, or is going into the darkest chaos that's ever been known in history. And there to the left, he draws a Star of David. On the front of this message, here he writes, the shadow, type and figure, of the coming of the Son of God, the Word. Now, our brother William continues to say here, now, it is very important to understand these mysteries, because if we can't understand them, then we won't be able to understand what God will be doing at this end time. Just like through the prophets of the Old Testament, God reflected what He would do through the Messiah. And in the sacrifices that the Hebrew people had, he also reflected the sacrifice of Christ. But when it was fulfilled, then they no longer needed those sacrifices, nor did they need those prophets, because a greater prophet was already in their midst. That is why when he writes there in 1 Corinthians 11, where he says, do this in remembrance on me until I come. Once he is present, then all that is taken away. In the message, Christ is revealed in his own word on page 17. He tells us, if anybody misinterprets Jesus Christ in the Bible of not being God himself, make him the second person, or one God out of three, this would upset every word in the entire Bible. It would break the first commandment. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Alright? It would make the whole Christian race a bunch of pagan worshippers worshipping three different gods. See what kind of a Bible you'd have? Then it'd make us what the Jews say we are. Said, which one of them gods is your God? See? So you see, you mustn't misinterpret the Bible. For Jesus himself is the interpretation of the Bible when he's made manifest. And he writes in flesh. When he's made manifest in the age that the part of his body is being made manifest. If it is a hand age, it must be a hand. It can't be a head age. If it's a boy's age, well then, it can't be a foot age. And on the left of a boy's age, he draws a cornerstone. On the right upward, he writes, Jesus is the interpretation of the Bible when it is fulfilled. See, and now we are at the I age. And now the next is he himself, to come, seeing prophetic. See, down through the age, we started off from the foundations, from the first church age, when the seed went in the ground, the complete seed. Then he came out through the feet, Luther, came back out, then through Wesley, then in the Pentecostals, the tongues and the lips. See, now it's in the eye, prophetic, of Malachi 4 and so forth. And now, there is nothing else left for it to come, but he himself to step into that. And he writes, into the second coming. Because that's the last thing there is. The next thing is intelligence. And we have no intelligence of our own. It's his. Here he writes, on the right upward, the feet equals Luther, the arms equal Wesley, the mouth equals Pentecostals. And on the left upward, he writes, the eye dash prophetic, the mind dash Christ. Christ, Anointed One, Messiah are the same thing. How can a man foresee those things? He can't do it. It's God himself. See, it's becoming to a place, and he's governed the body all the way through. Then the complete body of Christ is revealed in the form of a bride that was taken out of his side, like Adam did at the beginning. Like Adam was, rather, at the beginning. Yes, God, this would set the whole Bible in confusion, break the first commandment, and make a God, a pagan God of three. It would just ruin the whole picture of the Bible. So you must not misinterpret the Bible. Now, that's just one thing. When every scripture in the Bible has the same application, you've got to set it in its place. And look, there is a place here where he wrote in a place, he writes, everything that God is going to do, first he reflects it, he typifies it, he symbolizes it, just as he typified the first coming of Christ in the sacrifices of the Paschal Lamb, of the goat of the sin offering, and in the other corresponding sacrifices and feasts. And he was also reflected in prophets. And then when he came, he was everything. And also another writing, this time it was in a Bible study. There he writes, in the Old Testament, God reflected Christ and the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first part was fulfilled in Jesus. And the second part will be fulfilled in his second coming. And Christ veils and reveals himself in his angel, the second son who will be adopted while being alive at the last day. And with him, all the sons and daughters of God will be adopted, who are the members of his church bride of each age and stage. That itself is a message. Now notice how at this end time, we are already in the reality, no longer in the types and figures, but rather in the reality of what was shown by the prophets both of the Old Testament as of the New Testament. Because he said that the seventh seal has been announced since Genesis. So everything converges and everything ends in the seventh seal, in the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. The nobleman. That has been the subject, the noble man of this Bible study for this occasion, which he preached in Villahermosa, Mexico, and titled it The Noble Man. Let us stand, and we can sing a song, a praise. The song there, on one occasion, Ruth Daniela sang the one that they sang today during the devotional service. We can ask her to sing it. That song, Someone Loves Me. Notice, He loves us. He loved us in the first coming of the Lord, carrying out His work as Lamb. And in His second coming, since it's He Himself, well, if He loved us back then, how could He not love us now in His claiming work? Well, He also expresses His love in His claiming work as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to take His bride to the house of the Heavenly Father, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Go ahead with the song. Look, in this same message, the reproach for the cost of the word, he says, Jesus, as the other night, Lord, I cried, Oh, Jesus, what will you have me do? What can I do, Lord? Seeing these things and knowing the hour we are living, I pray for my little church here, bride. I think of the little birds in the vision, the things that has been, and the other birds, which were great things. But when them angels stepped in, there was no birds left. The little messengers has been wonderful, Lord. But I believe that there is something just fixing to take place. Let it be, Lord. Mold us and make us after your way. We are the clay. You are the potter. A bit further on, he says, Who are we, Lord, Who are we, that we should shun any reproach? God, make us gallant soldiers. I commit these words to you, Father. They may be broken up, tired and weary as I am. But, Father, reward these people for sitting and listening. And may the power that brought up our Lord and presented him to us here for a Savior in this last day, may it quicken every spirit in here, Lord, to the nearness of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Heal the sick and afflicted that's among us, and also for those who are connected as well. Bind up the brokenhearted. Lord, I am an old veteran. Help me, Lord. I need your help. Help me, O God, and help this church, and bless us together. Bless the little children, and the children as well. Bless us, Father, and bless the children as well. Let's continue singing.
Agradecimiento de ese amor, quiero ser un hijo sumiso y obediente, una epístola viviente que mi vida hable por mí. ¿Quién me apartará del amor de Cristo, tribulación o angustia? ¿Persecución o hambre, desnudez o peligro? Así como dijera el apóstol Pablo, hoy vuelvo a decir, prisionero de Cristo, para siempre quiero vivir. Así como dijera el apóstol Pablo, decir, prisionero de Cristo, para siempre quiero vivir.
A prisoner
de Cristo, del ungido, del Mesías,
to Christ, to the Anointed One, to the Messiah, in his first coming,
su segunda venida,
and in his second coming,
en su obra de
in
reclamo,
his claiming work,
el hombre noble,
the noble man,
con nosotros,
with us, our dear
hermano,
brother
y amigo,
and friend,
el doctor
Dr.
William Soto Santiago.